The Pat Kenny Show
with Aviva Insurance
on News Talk.
As the European election counts head into the fifth day, all four seats in the Dublin constituency have been filled after 19 counts. So we have the remaining 9 seats left to be filled. Joining me now is Fionnán Sheehan, Ireland editor with the Irish Independent. Fionnán, good morning.
Morning, Pat.
Let's talk about the news in Dublin. We had the first two. Regina Doherty ended up being first home, even though second from the top of the poll, which was Barry Andrews. And then we had a changing of the guard for the latter two seats.
Yeah, and a couple of important trends emerged here. So the sitting MEPs, Claire Daly and Kieran Cuff, lost out, and they were replaced by Lynn Boylan of Sinn Féin and Éan Arreardon of Labour. And a couple of things happened there. Transfer patterns, you know, despite what you'll hear, all transfers are going all over the place. Well, ultimately, they kind of stayed along ideological grounds. Migrant skeptic, shall we say, votes went in a particular direction. Once we got into the serious business of the left-wing transfers moving, then people voted left and they stayed left. And here's where Kieran Cuff lost out, because he was basically level with Éan Arreardon until we got to the point where Social Democrat and PVP votes were going out. And at that point, Labour were more transfer-friendly for PVP and Social Democrat voters than they were the Green Party. Now, the Greens had actually spotted that on Saturday in the council elections.
Which might explain why Kieran Cuff was looking so glum.
Yeah, he was, and ultimately on a rear end, it overtakes him on after Breed Smith of People Before Profit went out. Now, it's not that Labour weren't getting the bulk of those transfers. They were still going to Sinn Féin and Claire Daly. So they were going hard left, back to soft left. And then it looks like the Green Party is basically getting taxed, shall we say, for being in government. 5 years ago, that was a different picture. The Greens were getting those kind of transfers. So that's how things have changed. So it just shows you, 10 years on, the Labour Party are slightly less
toxic
then a bit more transfer
well,
friendly.
Well, I think
Éan
Arreardon said we're back.
Yeah, they're back to a degree. They're nothing like they were in the old days, but being able to take a significant seat like that, seeing the knock on effect that his campaign had for them across Dublin, it was very definitely a positive weekend for the Labour Party, and after so many negative times.
Now,
it
could be argued that Kieran Cuff was a very visible and hard-working MEP.
I don't know, is he visible? I mean, I don't have a whole lot of sympathy for sitting MEPs who don't attain a high profile for themselves. They have a massive budget.
He certainly did. No, he was on this program many times.
I'm not sure he was cutting through enough.
He was generally defending the green activities of Dublin City Council, which was not his remit, really. You know, all the plastic bollards around the place, all the cycle lanes and all the disruption of traffic and the various plans that Dublin City Council have, they were being blamed on the Greens, and Kieran would stick his head up above the parapet and take
that, because he wanted to be talking about local issues. What's significant, I suppose, out of the results? Okay, a Green Party MEP is gone out. However, there is a grown-up in the room now for Sinn Féin. Lynn Boylan is somebody who's very active on climate and environmental issues. Sinn Féin are going to have to start moving here in terms of their you know, IFA-style position on environmental issues in the European Parliament. You know, she'll probably be the leading Sinn Féin MEP at the end of this. Likewise, Barry Andrews wasn't afraid to kind of distance himself from the party line on environmental issues during this election. Éan Arreardon will be fairly pro-environment as well. Regina Doherty kind of ruffled feathers by having a hop off the Greens in the closing days of the campaign. She'd want to grow up a bit as well. I think there still is, despite what's happened to the Green Party this weekend, I still think climate is a very important issue that particularly at a European level, those parties need to start taking a lead on.
Now, what about Claire Daly's demise? I mean, she hung in there maybe longer than some people might have expected, but in the end she went. And I'm wondering to what extent the reporting about her support or apparent support for Russia as distinct from Ukraine. Now, her line would be, it's all about peace and peace comes through dialogue and all of that, not through war. Do you think that harmed her, or what caused her demise?
Yeah, I mean, Mick Wallace was identifying this during the course of the campaign, that this was being thrown at him as well. Barry Andrews delivered a well-rehearsed zinger on Clare Daily on live TV about that she should be more interested in what's happening in the Crumlin than the Kremlin. And, you know, Clare Daily did her usual blame everybody else going out the door last night, saying, you know, having a hop-off RTE over... you know, coverage of her over the past 5 years. Let's just remember, Clare Daly and Mick Wallace reported an Irish Times journalist, a well-regarded one, for asking them questions about their activities, tried to get that journalist banned from the European Parliament for doing her job. So that was their attitude towards transparency. So I don't have any sympathy for Clare Daly's.
And an RT reporter approached her last night, and this is her response.
Claire, would you have a word with us? How are you
feeling? No interest in talking to me for 5 years, so I've no interest in talking to you.
So there you are.
RTE have a dedicated European Parliament show. She was given ample opportunity to appear on that, and did on several occasions. And when it doesn't suit Clare Daly to answer questions, she doesn't answer questions.
How does Mick Wallace look this morning?
So he's still very much in the mix. And again, we're looking at Dublin and going, okay, so what are we seeing there that's significant for Ireland South? So the Sinn Féin internal transfers are still... going quite well, so we expect that Kathleen Funchen will get a big transfer from her running mate Paul Gavin. But here's what will matter: will be, can Grace O'Sullivan get back in the game here once Labour and the Social Democrats go out? If she gets at least 40% of their transfers, you can add on an extra 18,000 onto her vote, and that puts her firmly back in the mix. So those remaining seats are still very much up for grabs. On the Fianna Fáil side, they will be dependent upon the Fine Gael second candidate, and very much in the shadow of Sean Kelly, John Mullins, bouncing around the house and ultimately landing on Cynthia Ní Mhiarracú's desk. So you're looking at the picture now and go, where can people get significant transfers here to secure their seats? If transfers just scatter across the board, then Mick Wallace gets in. If there is a kind of a pattern to the transfers, then it will favour Funchen, O'Sullivan, Ní Mhiarracú.
So that's why everyone is looking at the transfer patterns in Dublin to see what they might indicate.
There's very definitely a discipline on the Sinn Féin side that we were seeing. Now you can probably predict around about 60% of transfers are going to go to the Sinn Féin running mate. And on the kind of soft left side, we're looking at maybe 40%. Now again, does that... when that was going to the Labour Party, that was fine. When it's going to the Green Party, is that a different thing entirely? But Éan, we know that Éan O'Riordan was getting strong Sock Dem and Green transfers. So now does it work within that triangle when it's the Green Party candidate?
And looking to the final constituency, and Luke Ming Flanagan, cock of the...
Yeah, no, he's ramping home, and it looks like very definitely at this stage Fine Gael are going to win two seats, and Fianna Fáil's Barry Cowan taking a seat as well, with the last one up for grabs. And again, might have been premature to write off Michelle Gildernew. She still has 18,000 to 20,000 transfers to come her way from her running mate that you can definitely pencil in now straight away, and that should be a lot for her. And then you're looking at her versus Kieran Mullooly for that last seat, and you're looking at her going, okay, so is Mullooly maybe going to get a chunk of change from Padraig Tobin where he goes out, or is there a Republican hue to those votes? So up there you're looking at the Fine Gael tactics very much worked.
Are you surprised Nina Carberry came in ahead of Maria Walsh?
Because in effect she avoided any great scrutiny or debates over the course of this campaign. At some point Fine Gael decided to let's hide her away, wrap her in cotton wool.
You know, they talk about the curse of Strictly. Well, that's on the BBC, where you have all sorts of romantic dalliances that go wrong, but here we have the joys of Dancing with the Stars.
She had a good, she ran a good ground war, if not an air war,
People would be delighted to see her.
Yeah, they pumped a lot of money into her on social media as well, kept her off the airwaves, had her energetically going around the place. She had that great thing, which is name recognition. This is the difference between Nina Carberry and John Mullins down in Cork as the Ireland South candidate. Zero name recognition. He'd all the experience in the world and he was able to talk about every EO directive going. But ultimately, if the punters don't know who you are, it's not going to happen. Yeah, it's not going to go your way.
Now, what is all this telling us about the likelihood or not of an election? I mean, you've heard every version. It'll be October, it'll be November, it'll be at the very last moment that the Dáil can last because the Taoiseach wants to head to Washington and meet either Mr. Trump or Mr. Biden.
Takes you right up to March 22nd. So what we do know out of this weekend, again last night, we have another by-election that's going to happen. The likelihood at the moment is we're looking at four by-elections. The European Commissioner one, I'm told, won't be relevant because the European Commissioner won't resign until the end of October. So that just doesn't matter. So four by-elections, which Simon Harris then has to decide, right, do I go for those four in the autumn or do I just run the election? So one way or another, we're going to have a significant electoral date coming up probably late October period. The assumption at this point seems to be, here's the kind of hive mind wisdom, is that government heads up to the summer, the European Commissioner gets appointed, they come back in the autumn, they run a budget, pass a budget significantly, get the legislation through on it and then go to the people at that stage. That's events at the moment because
if you're looking at the calendar, looking at the calendar, but you introduce a budget, unless you go really early with the budget, but if you introduce a budget, then you pass it takes several weeks to pass. Then you've got a campaign. So you're finally going to the polls on that date.
We'll be waiting for a summer economic statement, which normally comes at the end of this month. And at that point, they normally confirm the date of the budget. Now, if they were to move that date at all,
you'd know,
forward by even a day or a half an hour, we'd all be going, sure, that's it. You're heading to the park the following day. So that'll give us some indication of what the mindset is. Nobody sees them going before the budget. Certainly the clamour in Fianna Fáil is basically we need to run these by-elections fairly fast. Fianna Fáil will probably be looking at these by-elections and going, okay, we've actually got a shot in three of them at the very least. Fianna Fáil strongholds in Carlow, Kilkenny, Laois, Offaly, Clare, so maybe it wouldn't be the worst thing for them to have the by-election. So yeah, it is back to Simon Harris. And again, you have to look at, you know, this is what you can't predict, events, dear boy, events. Mm. This election, shaped by things like the referendum, the migration crisis playing out. 2020, nobody saw the rise of Sinn Féin, but it was the events around it that shaped the rise of Sinn Féin, such as the return of the institutions in Northern Ireland, Charlie Flanagan and his commemorations, the pension issue suddenly emerging, and housing was there and Sinn Féin snuck up. So you this is the problem that Simon Harris has got. He needs to not just look at the dates, but what exactly will be the context for the calling of that election.
All right. Fionnán, thank you very much for joining us. Fionnán Sheehan, Ireland editor with the Irish Independent.
The Pat Kenny Show
with Aviva Insurance.
Weekdays at 9 a.m. on News Talk.